Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Why not finish it that way? Fernando Verdasco, 7 years later, the sequel rescripts the verdict, closes out Nadal with the final six games of this match. From nowhere produces a monster match, and on the other side, a loss to begin the 2016 Slam season that will really sting for Rafa.
Chris Fowler with a call on ESPN2 last night. I watched some of this, and Nadal just didn't have it. Nadal does not have a versatility in his game to change up, to become a serve and volley guy. He's a strict baseline guy. And if he can't run down shots and if he can't make passing shots, and he's done it at the highest level for years now, if he can't do that, he struggles in a match.
What makes
him older now?
Go ahead.
He's a little older now. And, you know, I don't know if the rest of you, but I noticed I slowed down a little bit.
What made him or makes him so dominant on clay?
Because for one thing, he can run down every ball because it's the clay's slower. And he is just incredibly consistent and patient hitting the ball back. He's great with passing shots. He's great with running down shots. He's also great with being a backboard, where you hit the board and the ball comes back. And he forces you into making mistakes, where you finally, you lose patience and you try to hit a winner and you can't. And he's been, his patience and his ability just to return shots and his forehand is tremendous. Great forehand. And that's what's made him great on clay. Great on clay because it's a nice, consistent high bounce. It's a little bit slower. And he just returns it as if he is a wall. You hit the wall sends the ball back. Hit the ball, wall sends the ball back. And he outlasts you. Brilliant. Now, on grass, I give him credit because he's won Wimbledon. On grass, a little bit different. The ball skids off the grass. And he's done a great job in return of serve over the years, especially with the ball skidding on grass. And he's won it from the baseline. And it's not inconceivable to win Wimbledon from the baseline. Bjorn Borg won five of them, all from the baseline. He was not a serve and volley guy like McEnroe. Jimmy Connors adapted from baseline to serve and volley over time. And Sampras, obviously, was a great serve and volley player. But Nadal, great power. And great conditioning, too. But injuries take their toll, and he's had some injuries to deal with. And you could see he didn't have the movement that he had last year. Djokovic is the number one player in the world. I mean, Joker has played great, and he has a chance to be the Grand Slam guy this year. He has a chance to win the Grand Slam this year. He's peaking. Federer is still terrific, but not at his peak any longer, but still terrific. Nadal might be able to make a run at the French. Murray can make a run at both Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, but Djokovic is the guy to beat. And you were shocked I could answer that question.
No, I was actually hoping you could answer that question. That's why I asked you.
You were shocked. Bill Amin, my friend, my coworker at Channel 3, Bill sits next to me, and we talk all the time. Bill works all four of the major championships. So Bill's in Australia right now. I always love that text I get from Bill. Hey, Steve, 102 here in Melbourne. Where are you? I'm in Chicago at 6. And that's why, for example, we're trying to work on getting Brad Gilbert on the show. Remember we had Patrick McEnroe on the show 2 years ago?
Yes.
Bill was the one that helped me set that up. And then in return, I did Patrick McEnroe's show in New York. But he's talked to Brad Gilbert about coming on the show to talk with us. Gilbert wants to do it. The question, and Gilbert's already said, yeah, I'll definitely do it. And he talks about, Brad Gilbert talks about every sport, not just tennis, every sport. He is an every sport lover. And he says, it's all about time. He says, I carve out the time. I'll definitely do the show. So, I mean, we already have that. He wants to do it. Now it's a question within the realm of everything he has to do for ESPN. What kind of time can he get in Melbourne to fit us? Okay. Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, Patriots and Broncos. This is probably the last time we're going to see Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in this spot, because I don't think Peyton Manning is going to be a member of the Denver Broncos next year. You don't know how things play out, but the gut feeling is this might be it for him. Mark, welcome. Great to have you with us. Over the years, this has been one place where Tom Brady has struggled, but when he has Edelman and Gronkowski in the lineup together, the record's great. What does all this stuff tell you?
Well, this season, when he has Julian Edelman and Robert Gronkowski play a full game, he hasn't lost. The Patriots are, I believe, 11-0. So, I mean, I think right there, it kind of shows you no one stopped him yet. And even you look at what the Patriots have done in Denver or against the Broncos, and it really hasn't been pretty. But I went back and I looked at it yesterday with Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman both in a game. Brady's 4-0 against the Broncos. Now, when either one or maybe none of them play, he's 2-7. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. Since he has Gronk, he'll have Edelman. And that's not something we saw the last time these two teams faced in Week 12, and it's not something we saw back in the 2013 AFC Championship when Tom Brady was thrown to Julian Edelman and a bunch of backup tight ends and special team players.
They did build up a 21-7 lead, if I recall correctly, in that snowstorm in Denver, and then relinquished it and lost. So let's flip it to the other side. What didn't work for the Patriots that night against Brock Osweiler and the Broncos?
Right, that's a good question. I think it kind of started with special teams. They had an undrafted rookie, Chris Harper, playing in one of his first games and receiving punts in the NFL for the first time. And he muffed a punt in the fourth quarter that kind of kickstarted the Broncos. And then after that, Rob Gronkowski got hurt with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. So at the end of that game, they essentially had Brady throwing to Scott Chandler. I mean, he led the team in targets with 11. And now Scott Chandler last week against the Chiefs, he played 5 snaps and didn't see one target. So, I mean, offensively, things have started to change for the better for the Pats. And I think in that game, you know, they were a little undermanned. And even their run game, they really didn't know what to do or how to approach it. I mean, James White wasn't even, I would say, nearly developed as he is now. I mean, he has a big catch almost every game. And, I mean, I believe against the Broncos, he was pretty inefficient and not really the James White we're seeing yet.
Yeah, I know when he was at Wisconsin, Jack Ham and I would look at Monte Ball and we'd look at James White, and we both felt that White down the road would be the better all-around back moving forward, and it turns out I think that's the way it's played out. When you look at Julian Edelman, I was talking with the Kent State play-by-play guy when I was doing a basketball tournament in Las Vegas, and they were there, and Edelman had been their quarterback at Kent State. And I said, did you ever see this? He says, no, but he has great instincts for the game. Mark, discuss the instinct you watch Julian Edelman play with on offense, because he's not going to be the fastest guy, but he seems to find every hole in the defense.
Right. It's pretty incredible to watch. It doesn't matter where he lines up either, whether he's outside, you know, in the slot, over the middle, running down the sideline. You know, when he gets the ball, no matter where he is, even if it's behind the line of scrimmage or in a jet sweep, he has, you know, this great ability to make people miss. He makes the most out of, you know, whatever space he has. Even if it's a 1 foot and he has two defenders around him, sometimes you'll see him get out of that. You're like, oh, how did he do it? But time in and time again, that's where Brady goes. And on third down, I would say the instincts definitely come into play. I mean, he knows where the chains are. He knows where they need the first. And there's a reason why. I mean, when Edelman's on this team and he's playing, I believe the Patriots convert third downs at around 50%. Wow. Now, when he's not in the field, it's around 30%. So It's a huge drop-off. And that's kind of what played into the Patriots' downfall the final I'll say the six games when they finished 2-4, they really couldn't convert on third down, and he's a huge part of that.
No question. How much of a mess is that Patriot offensive line?
Yeah, that's always something to look at. I mean, the tackle situation has been a mess all season. They lost probably their best tackle in Nate Solder early in the year. So we have backup Marcus Cannon playing, and he's always hit or miss. Now, Sebastian Vollmer has been dealing with a high ankle sprain, and he's been limited in practice and nowhere near full strength. And then you're dealing with a few rookies. You know, you got a guy like Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason who have been rotating in at guard. And next to them is Josh Klein, who just a few years back was an undrafted free agent out of Kent State. And then at center, it's Brian Stork, a second-year player, so you don't really have a lot of experience. And last week, how the Patriots were able to deal with that and with a tough Chiefs defensive line was essentially with Brady. He averaged about, you know, a little under 2.5 seconds from snap to throw. So he just had a lightning-quick release. And it's kind of a train of thought of if you can't protect the quarterback, release the ball as fast as you can. So you don't allow those defensive edge rushers to get to the ball or get to the quarterback.
We often talk about Peyton Manning pre-snap and what he does at the line of scrimmage. And obviously, when Bill O'Brien was here for a couple of years, I had a chance to talk to him enough to kind of get a feel for how they dealt with things with Brady and when he was with the Patriots. When you watch Brady pre-snap at the line of scrimmage, as much as Manning has talked about, what do you see as the kind of orchestrator Brady is so that he sees and sets protections and finds holes?
Yeah, it's really similar how the two quarterbacks operate. What Brady does, he essentially reads the defense and changes the play call based on what he sees. There was, I believe, last week, I think it was Danny Amendola had two catches, and one went for 16 yards. And on that play, Brady kind of read the blitz and saw that the Chiefs were overloading on the right side of the field. So as soon as the ball was snapped, Amendola was almost alone on the left side of the field where no one was. You know, he hit him, quick 16-yard gain. I just thought that was a good example of him, reading what's in front of him and trying to take advantage of it. That's really what he does constantly. And with the Pats, when you have Edelman and Gronk out there, it's likely there's going to be someone who has a favorable matchup.
Defensively, it's one thing about the Patriots, it seems like they've had a pretty good handle for the most part about the shelf life of players. And when they sense that somebody's headed toward the downside, they then move to somebody else. Defensively, on a team that essentially replaced both their corners, what's allowed the Patriots to continue to play at a good, maybe not great, but a good level defensively?
I would say it's the development of some of their younger players that's really been key. Guys, linebackers like Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, one was a first round, one was a second round pick.
Believe me, Penn State played Alabama when Hightower was there, so I saw what he had in the tank.
Yep, and then in the secondary, of course, McCourty was a first-round pick. It seemed like ages ago, and he's still pretty young. But Malcolm Butler, undrafted free agent, and then Logan Ryan, the third-round pick from a few years back, those guys have just leaps and bounds developed this year. And I think that's kind of one of the bigger stories in the team because before this year, the Patriots really haven't developed a cornerback since the days of Asante Samuel. It's been a long time, so they've had to rely on a guy like last year, Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, get these veteran free agents in here, even Aqib Talib. And finally, they've actually developed a Pro Bowl corner of their own in Malcolm Butler. And, he doesn't always have the best games, but, every game he's on an island, essentially, taking on one of the best guys. And then with Logan Ryan, you kind of shade him with Devin McCourty, who I would say is vastly underrated.
Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, joining us, covering the New England Patriots. They get ready for the AFC Championship game, which is the early game at 3 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday when they take on the Broncos. Weather, by the way, looks to be in the 40s for that game coming up on Sunday, which then brings Steven Guskowski into the equation here. In the thin air, what kind of weapon is he for Belichick?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they trotted him out there, from 60 yards deep, if need be. I think he had that type of leg. He's probably been better than Adam Vinatieri, in terms of his numbers, which is kind of crazy to think about. Now, he doesn't have the same type of clutch kicks and all that stuff, but he doesn't really control that. Yeah, he's a huge weapon. He's been really consistent this year. He missed a couple kicks down the stretch, but at the end of the day, he was a first-team All-Pro, Pro Bowler once again, and definitely deserved it so. And it's kind of crazy. He's one of the longest tenured Patriots right now. I think the only one who's been on the team longer is Tom Brady.
Speaking of Brady, one more thing on Brady. During the regular season, because of the offensive line you referenced, I think he was under pressure 35.1% of the time, which was actually number one in the NFL. Now let's flip it to the other side. Do you have any idea what to expect from Peyton Manning?
No, not at all. Honestly, even watching him against Pittsburgh, I keep saying to myself, in order for this Broncos team to really go down the field, they need to run the ball well.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's all about. It's all about C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman. Even when they beat the Patriots in Week 12, C.J. Anderson
was great. Anderson was great that night.
Right. So, Manning, he'll make the call to the line, and if he sees, a good matchup, he'll probably run the ball a lot. I mean, that Gary Kubiak, zone run system, they've had some decent success against Belichick and the Patriots before. And honestly, if the Broncos are going to win this game, it's not going to be because of Peyton Manning. I honestly think it'll be because of guys like Anderson and Hillman.
One final question, Mark. When Mark Daniels is asked a question, have you ever received an in-depth answer from Bill Belichick?
Yes, actually.
Well, that's why we got you on the show. Well done.
Yep. You know, you have to know Bill well enough to know what to ask him. So if you ask him about the development of a player, he'll go on and on and on, and he'll talk about, like Julian Edelman developing from a Kent State quarterback to wide receiver. He'll talk about Rob Gronkowski's development as a blocker, and he really enjoys that stuff. And of course, if you ask him about the history of the game, he'll give you too much. It'll be like, 200-300 word block quote, and you're like, oh, he's talking about, offensive lines from the 1970s or something like that. It's, of course, if you actually want something, in terms of an injury update, that's not going to happen.
That's Mark Daniels, knowing his subject. Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much. I think the audience learned a lot more about it.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
That is Mark Daniels from the Providence Journal. Kevin Herr breaks down the interview in its entirety in a moment, as only he can, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy. And 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale-priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at Sunbury Motors. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
The Chargers have trademarked Los Angeles Chargers and LA Chargers. And that would mean that doesn't mean anything yet, but if they decide to move to Los Angeles, they've got that locked down, which would be a lockdown for logos, merchandise, and anything else that goes with it. They have the option of joining the Rams in Inglewood. They have between now and January 12th of 2017 to do so. But they have trademarked Los Angeles Chargers and L.A. Chargers. We'll see what they want to do from there.
Usually when you see that happen, it's a telltale sign that they're looking to solidify themselves. Now, if they actually purchased L.A. Chargers or LosAngelesChargers.com, then it's a real good sign that they're moving.
Well, I mean, you want to do things preemptively. I mean, you don't want to do things reactively.
that is, you know, for example, why do I have a Facebook page? Well, I have a Facebook page because of the domain. Now, you guys maybe get a Twitter account, but it was actually a smart thing to do for me personally because same story.
Right.
Domain. I mean, let's face it. I mean, anybody can get out there and they can post under my name if they wanted to put together an account, and everybody would think it was me. So they're being smart about it, and then we'll see if they follow through on it and decide to go into the L.A. market.
Now, right now, LAChargers.com is a page of rumors. And, of course, they already own Chargers.com.
Right. So they've at least they've done that. That's just part of the news as to whether they'll have a team there or not. The Raiders, on the other hand, have options of Oakland. If San Diego leaves, that's an option. San Antonio's an option. Big snowstorm rolling into Kevin's area. And thus, there's no greater thrill than listening to Kevin off the air tell me the sky is falling.
Well, there's a chance that the snow's going to be falling this weekend. Although one service has it about 4 inches, the other one says could be as much as 18. That's a pretty big swing.
Well, you know where the center is right now. It's not even to Washington State
it's
yet.
It's out in the Pacific.
Okay, how about like it makes landfall first? Let's try that one.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Snowstorm bearing down on the valley. They'd like Kevin to turn in the car quickly as possible.
Actually, I kind of think with the wide wheelbase and the front wheel drive of the Hyundai Sonata.
They want the car back from you as quickly as possible.
I think this car is going to go through the snow with no trouble.
I think it'll be great in the snow. This comes down to operator error.
Well, it's hard to have some operator error in this vehicle because when you put it on cruise, the adaptive cruise will make sure you have a safe distance between you and the car in front of you. There's a lane alert system.
I was in it with you the other day, right? And it says, pull over, change operator now, pull over, change. I thought, wow, this is some vehicle. It talks to you and it gets it.
I did have one vehicle where if you made the lane assistance light come on, in other words, crossed over the line one too many times, it actually flashes a little coffee cup on the screen. It said, you should take a break. Now, I was doing it on purpose because I wanted to see the opportunity that provided.
Told the police? That's what you told the police? I was doing it deliberately to see the coffee cup. Oh, yeah. I bet that goes over big.
Well, it was yellow the first time, and then I did it a couple of more times, and it turned red. So I thought that was interesting. But this does have the lane assistance.
He did 7 or 8 other times, and Tom turned red.
Probably, yeah. Thanks for reminding
me. He's doing what with our car?
Well, hey, you have to make sure that all these features work, like the heated steering wheel and the toasty warm front seats when you turn the heated seats on. I mean, it was really nice on a cold, windy morning this morning to hop in and have everything all nice and toasty and have the luxury that you would expect from a much more expensive vehicle. And the Blue Drive technology that makes the gas mileage in the 40s for just driving around town with the Hyundai Sonata Hybrid. You can see more details coming up tomorrow on my Facebook page, at Kevin Herr on Twitter. And you know what? I think we'll even do a Periscope so you can see the vehicle in person. Well, kind of in person. Firsthand.
Nothing like
there you go.
There's nothing like you on Periscope. Nothing.
You've never seen one. Ever.
That's true. All right.
Can't deny that.
Nikki Jabala, Denver Post tomorrow on the Broncos side of things. Joe Person, Charlotte Observer on the Carolina Panthers later in the week. Trying to get this from all angles if we can. Heading into the week. So there you go. There we go. The ESPN, I know you only read CBSSports.com.
No, I read ESPN today.
Steelers will need young stars to emerge.
Steelers need a secondary to emerge.
Yeah, okay, but let's start with a couple things, all right? I agree with this. They need young stars to emerge. They need, for example, Wheaton and Bryant to be more consistent. It would help moving forward that Jesse James continues his development. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is a star among stars. Bud Dupree is going to... I thought Bud Dupree ended up being a better draft pick than I thought he would be. He was more consistent, and I thought he played well. Ryan Shazier needs to be the focal point of what goes on with that defense. He is a great athlete playing in that spot, and I think he's a special talent. Hayward needs to play. Hayward was invisible in the Broncos game. Name a play Hayward made. What play did Hayward make in the game?
In the Broncos game, I don't know that he... I mean, he filled gaps. No. He filled gaps so Shazier could make plays, but...
Kevin, I wouldn't say he made a play. Kevin, let's get serious. He made no plays in the game. He was invisible. Okay? They need him to be a big-time player for them. They need Hayward to be a 10 to 15 sack guy. They need Bud Dupree to be a 10 to 15 sack guy. I like Stephon Tuitt a lot. Timmons has been, I think, the rock of Gibraltar over there for a long time. I really like how Timmons plays. Shazier. For some reason, Jarvis Jones has never been able to kick it into gear. I don't know why. And then in the secondary, they drafted that kid Golson out of Ole Miss. Got to see what he's got. At some point, because, I mean, he has the speed. That's one thing they got. He's got speed.
Well, they desperately need more takeaways than they've had the last couple of years.
Right. Bryce McCain and William Gay were forced to play meaningful minutes this year for them. That's not what you want.
Here's a stat that you love these stats, and I ran across this one. When their defense forced three turnovers and more this year, Pittsburgh went 7-0. In the 10 games they forced two turnovers or less, they were 4-7.
Right. Well, here's one for you. Here's your flexibility. There isn't much. The cap number for Ben Roethlisberger, Lawrence Timmons, Antonio Brown, Cam Hayward, Pouncey, David DeCastro, $46.8 million. In 2016, their cap goes up to $80 million. Because Ben goes from 17 to 23.
Worth every penny.
Timmons goes... I agree. No. I agree with that.
No, I'm just throwing that in. He's worth every penny.
Absolutely. He's the MVP of the whole team. No him, no chance. Roethlisberger goes from 17 to 23. Timmons goes from, 8 to 15. Antonio Brown goes from 7 to 12. And even then, I think he's slightly underpaid at a relative scale. Hayward goes from 6 to 10. He's going to have to play like a $10 million guy. Pouncey goes from 4 to 10 after the great season he just had. And DeCastro goes from 2.5 to 8. And DeCastro actually did have a great season. Pouncey had no season. This is before you paid Le'Veon Bell any money.
Yeah, he needs to stay healthy, too.
Well, he does. Well, he did, but that hit is going to put anybody
out. Oh, no, absolutely. But you look at his career and... he's been out almost as much as he's been in, and that, and not that it's his fault. I'm just saying you need him healthy.
Yeah, you've got $80 million in six players. You've got $80 million in six players. Now, do I agree with the six players that they have the $80 million in? Yes, I agree with all that. A quarterback, a linebacker, the best wideout in the game, a defensive end, a center, and a guard. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the, I don't think you can sit there and look at that list, and, you know, because Bell doesn't quite get to that. Bell isn't into the second contract yet. He's not to that level yet. He hasn't reached the second contract level yet, which is critical. But they've got $80 million in 2016 tied up in six players. It's $13 million a player. And they all make sense. But Hayward's going to have to play like he's a $10 million player. He got into the AFC Championship game, or not the AFC, the AFC Divisional game, and he disappeared. I mean, he wasn't in the game. What play did he make? He didn't make any plays. He made no plays in that game. None. Shazier played a great game. James Harrison played a great game. Will Allen played a great game. Stephon Tuitt played a great game. And Cam Hayward? Are you sure he was on the trip?
I saw his name in the starting lineup.
Yep, that's the last time he appeared on screen. Okay. But that's the key. But I agree with the six players they have tied up in $80 million. I mean, I agree with that list. Again, Bell is not to the level yet of the second contract yet. So that's why his name's not on there. But who else would you put on there in the six names? Who else would you add in? Shazier's not to the level of the next contract either. But they're going to need Bryant and Whedon, Shazier, Bell. You know, I think Bud Dupree, he ended up being a better player than I thought he'd be. And then the Golson kid they drafted out of Ole Miss, they're going to have to get him healthy and get him out there and start playing corner because he's got pure speed. Jim Schwartz, good hire by the Eagles. At least he's a veteran hire. Yeah, I don't know. Look, you're gonna have to re-sign Sam Bradford. You can change coaches and all you want. The single most important offseason move the Philadelphia Eagles are going to make is you need to re-sign Sam Bradford.
I don't think you can be disappointed with Sam Bradford if you're an Eagles fan. I mean, I think he answered the question of durability.
You need to sign Sam Bradford. Simple as that. Let's take a look at the playoffs, and let's take the final eight teams. What do all eight have in common? Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger. Kansas City, Alex Smith. Carolina, Cam Newton. Seattle, Russell Wilson. Okay. Denver, Peyton Manning. New England, Tom Brady. Arizona, Carson Palmer. Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. You don't go into this thing with a kid at quarterback. You've got to have somebody who's skilled, been around the block. I think Washington is starting to develop that guy in Kirk Cousins. I think Sam Bradford is very much, like Cousins and Bradford are very much in that second tier group. I mean, why did the Giants invest all that money in Eli Manning? Because they know if they don't have him, the drop-off is dramatic. Why did the Dallas Cowboys invest all that money in Tony Romo? Because as we saw firsthand, when he's not there, the drop-off is dramatic. You look at Adam Gase taking the Dolphins' job. Big thing for him. What do you do with Ryan Tannehill? What do you do? Right? You know, is that the guy you go with? But now you look at the Final Four, same story. Brady, Manning, Cam Newton, Carson Palmer. All upper-tier quarterbacks. You can look at the Bengals all you want, but not having Andy Dalton is a big reason why they didn't beat the Steelers.
Sam Bradford, by the way, completion percentage was right around the same percentage as Tom Brady. Now, the difference is Brady averages 7.6 yards. Sam Bradford averaged 7 yards. Here's where the disparity is. Touchdowns. 19 for Sam Bradford in an offense that's throwing the ball a ton. But yet, you know, Tom Brady comes out with 36 for the year.
But Tom Brady's got Rob Gronkowski.
Granted, he's got, he's got a lot of targets, no question about that. Not even debating that.
When he has Gronkowski and Edelman in the lineup together, the Patriots are 11-0 this year.
If you had one thing when you look at Sam Bradford that you think maybe should have been better this year, I think you have to look at the touchdowns for that type of offense.
Yeah, but you've got to have the receiver to get open to make that play. You've got to be able to create the mismatch. It's not just on him throwing the football. The Eagles desperately need to either have Aguilar break out and become a guy that they can match up with Matthews, or they're going to have to go out and draft themselves another wide receiver that can stretch the field and get it done for them. All right? I think tight end, the Eagles are okay. Selleck's fine. Right? That tight end becomes very valuable with matchups, especially in the red zone. That's where Gronkowski's tremendous. You get him matched up on a linebacker or a safety, he's quicker than the linebacker and he's bigger than the safety. It's a matchup nightmare. You know, running back wise, between Ryan Matthews and Sproles, I think Sproles is just one of the more underrated guys in this league the last 10 years. Just absolutely underrated. But I think it's imperative. The biggest offseason move the Eagles can make is not Doug Peterson, and it's not Jim Schwartz. You got to re-sign Sam Bradford. Because guess what? The guy playing that position is not a dime a dozen. We will. It just isn't. And it's just, I mean, look who is left in the playoffs. Okay? Admittedly, all four of them would start for your team. Now, Manning obviously is on the twilight side of his career. We all know that. But still, there's a reason why those are the four teams left standing, because they have, obviously, they're good all the way around. But at the most important position, they've got the guy. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy.
Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Easy as in 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at SunburyMotors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
You may not know it, but your company's always under attack from hackers, spammers, and other criminals.
Sooner or later, without Pentella Data's DDoS mitigation, your network's bound to fail.
But our protection works off-site, watching, waiting, and catching thousands of attacks in real time,
keeping bad data away from your servers.
So even if there's a battle happening in the cloud or here on the ground, it's business as usual.
It's all possible with the next generation network from Pentella Data.
Now, more than ever, businesses need IT support to be successful. Just look at how Pentella Data's IT pros are assisting the Lehigh Valley's pros, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms Utilize Penn Teledata IT services to make their day-to-day business run smooth, from wireless guest services to their point-of-sale operations and their servers. We're there because IT is our game, and it's in our name. Penn Teledata IT services. We're in.
You hear that, kid? That's the hum of a well-run facility. You know what I hate hearing? Silence. Silence on a production line means downtime. Downtime means wasted time. Wasted time means wasted money. Silence isn't golden, kid. It's deadly. That's why I love Grainger. With a wide variety of the latest products, Grainger gets us what we need when we need it to help keep this place up and running and humming away. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get your Plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Susquehanna Smart Drive wants you to stay safe on the roads.
Hi, I'm Bailey Durr from Milton. Texting and driving requires you to take your eyes off the road, hands off the wheel, and mind off the task of driving. Some don't think it's a problem, but it is a problem. It creates the perfect storm for a crash, and no one has the right to put another person's life at risk. Make the right choice when you're on the road. Stash your phone in the glove box. That call or text can wait.
Proud supporters of Susquehanna Smart Drive, Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Truck, and WKOK.
There's a new kid in town.
Tough news yesterday, huh? Well, obviously part of a generation. Eagles played at the Jordan Center. They had like a 6-concert tour. So they came in, and I think it was the only East Coast stop. I mean, I'm going back like 10 years now. David Letterman came in from New York for it.
Is that on the Hell Freezes Over tour?
Whatever, I don't know. It was 6 stops.
No, I didn't go. Must not have. It probably wasn't that one.
I didn't go.
Have you ever been to a concert?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have.
Just checking.
I'm not a stick in the mud.
Do you get to sit? Now, if you go to a concert at the Jordan Center, do you get to sit in your broadcast booth or...
I usually get really good seats.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But I have not gone to a concert in the Jordan Center in probably, I don't know, 8-9 years. You know, so, I mean, you remember a lot of these concerts they have, Penn State's on the road. So,
Steve, we haven't really talked about it a ton, but seems to be a lot of...
No, let's get to the one that you don't want to talk about. It looks like the Steelers, on a cap hit, may have to cut Heath Miller.
I understand. No, I think there's the number two behind Miller. Well, it may not be the number two, but I think there's a young man behind Heath Miller that could be the next Heath Miller.
Yeah, that would be Jesse James.
That would be Jesse James.
But it would be an emotional... This would be an emotional cut.
Oh, yes, it would. Yes, it would.
That's why I keep telling you, don't get attached to players.
Sign my hat.
Oh, boy.
Well, what I was going to say was we haven't had a chance to talk about it a ton, but Penn State's hockey team, men's hockey team, is playing really well. What are they, 15-4-3?
Yeah.
And 11-3-1, yeah, at home.
Yeah, he's rotating goalies right now. The one loss was to Minnesota, which beat them 7-1. They had won in overtime the night before, and I worked the Big Ten Network that night on that broadcast. He's doing something that he's got some depth right now. There's been a changing of the guard in the Big Ten. essentially what Guy Gadowski did was he started the collegiate hockey version of an expansion team. And he loaded it up, obviously, with a lot of freshmen, had a couple leftover club players along the way. And then those freshmen have grown up. Penn State's now the team with the juniors and the seniors because they've grown up and they mixed in a really nice freshman class. He's rotating his goalies every other game between Matthew Scoff and Eamon McAdam. And they put a lot of pucks on the net. I think they're third in the nation in shots on goal right now. He also does something that is interesting. Because of the development of his freshman class, most teams have two power play units. So obviously you're not going to use the same power play group the entire time. Because what happens if the power play group was just out there? He has not just two. Well, because of the development of his freshman class, he has three power play units he plays now. And that's really surprising to a lot of people. That tells you about the depth he has built in his program. He's done a really good job because he's gone from nothing to something in a short period of time. They're ranked 14th in the nation this week. Some good players on that team, too.